Amen. Just remain standing. Turn in your Bible, if you will, to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. Appreciate that song. That is one of my favorites. It's an old song. Matter of fact, when in North Carolina we went to Britt Haven Nursing Home for over 20 years, we went at least once a month. A lot of those years we went twice a month and held services in there. And always, as far as I know, sang that song probably every single service that we're in there. And I'm glad I've got confidence. My name's on that roll. You go in places, and by the way, years ago they said that song was written. James Black wrote it. He's a Baptist preacher. He was a preacher. I'm not sure if he's a Baptist or not, to be honest with you, but he was a preacher. James Black wrote it, but it was in the days when they called the roll at the church. Literally called the roll. And if your name was called and you weren't there, they went to find out what was going on. And there's a young lady that him and his wife had taken in and raised her as their own daughter. And she'd gotten grown. And long story short, one Sunday morning she wasn't there. And next Sunday morning she wasn't there. And so he went to see about her. And when he went to see her, she is on her deathbed, literally dying. And she said to him, she said, "Preacher, I wasn't there when they called the roll today, but when they call the roll up yonder, I'll be there." And he went back and wrote that song. Amen. I'm glad my name's on the roll. Our Lord said, don't get all excited just because the devils are subject unto you. Get excited because your name is recorded in heaven. Praise God. And I'm glad it is. Amen. Luke chapter 10. I'm also going to read in John chapter 11 and John chapter 12. And then coming back to Luke chapter 10. So if you want to find all those places, hopefully we'll read those and be together. And show you some things from the scriptures this morning that I hope will be a help to you. Luke chapter 10 is where I'll start. Verse number 38 is my verse. Luke 10 and verse number 38 is the first verse we're reading. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Now, John chapter number 11. By the way, I'm not on. There we go. Sorry about that, brother. John chapter 11 and verse number 32. "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was," I want you to notice this is the same woman, it's the same Lord, but it's a different occasion. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have ye laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold, how he loved him." Jump down to chapter 12 and verse number 1. John 12, verse number 1. "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair,
and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. I want to take these texts this morning and preach, especially today, from Luke chapter 10 and verse 38 on the thought of being at the feet of Jesus. Three times here, there's other occasions, but I chose these three. Three times here, we'll find Mary at the feet of Jesus. Each time a different occasion, each time acting differently. But we'll see and look at these, and I hope it'll be a help to us this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, I'm thankful this morning for the blessed assurance that my name is written.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, yes.
The wonderful love that was shed abroad in our hearts from that place. How blessed it is, Lord, to know that you died for our sins.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Thank you for the fruit of being in the house of God, your preaching, kindness, worship, prayer time. I ask you to bless those that are sick this morning.
Help, Lord,
bless
yes.
Those that are troubled in heart and spirit. Give us grace this day as we begin a new year.
Yes.
Put old things behind us and all things, Lord, before us that bring honor and glory to your wonderful name.
Yes.
We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Brother Doug preached this or taught Sunday school this morning about that, as Brother Hall mentioned in his prayer, about the new year, old things looking back, new things coming on. I don't have a sermon exactly about that in particular, but I did feel like that the Lord led me in this direction to begin looking at these three occasions of Mary at the feet of Jesus and look at this as us, new year, new day, new prospects in front of us, things such as that. Sometimes we'll make a resolution. I hope we will be resolved to do something for the Lord and to better our life, to be better at the end of this year than we are now. Amen. And to be closer to the Lord and to please Him as we should. Amen. But I read to you here these three instances, and as I said, there are others, but I chose three that are in the life of Mary of Bethany. This is not Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. This is Mary, the sister to Martha and to Lazarus, which I believe were considered close friends and associates and acquaintances of our Lord. In each of these texts that I've chosen before you, we see Mary found at the feet of Jesus. In Luke chapter number 10, Mary is a student in the place of education. She's there listening to learn. She's a student in a place of education. In John chapter 11, Mary is found sobbing, weeping sorrowfully in a place of consolation. She finds comfort at the feet of Jesus. And then in John chapter 12, verse 3, we find her as a saint there in the place of adoration, praising the Lord and pouring out her worship to Him that deserves it. Amen. There's no doubt that Mary had an undeniable love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was as if that couldn't be quenched. When she was ridiculed, even when the disciples looked down their nose and Judas made the comment, "Why this waste?" It didn't stop Mary from worshiping the Lord. Amen. She just kept right on worshiping Him. And by the way, we ought to too. Doesn't matter how they look at us. It doesn't matter what they think about us. Doesn't matter what they say about us. God help us to worship Him and to glorify Him as He deserves. Amen. It may be running the pews, or it may be falling at His feet, laying there worshiping Him. Amen. But Mary had an unselfish act of worship as she gave to the Lord and proved her love for the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the Scriptures. And I'd like to take these three instances, if I can, lifting each one individually from the pages of Scripture. And if I can, apply in our life that we can see ourselves at least where we could be and find some important lessons, I believe, that we can learn from the life of Mary and the actions that love produces when we find ourselves at the feet of our beloved. It reckons me back in my mind to Ruth at the feet of Boaz. Amen. Amen. Mary had that love for the Lord, her Redeemer. Amen. The one that was going to rescue her. The one that was going to change her life. Amen. Just as Ruth did at the feet of Boaz. And so in these three passages, I want to show you three things, and I'm going to deal with the first one today. Mary, we find Mary waiting, weeping, and worshiping in these three passages. First of all, Luke 10, verses 38 through 42, we find Mary waiting at the feet of Jesus to hear Him speak. Look, if you will, at verse number 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. And here's my phrase, and heard His word. Amen. Well, that likens me back again to what I said there that the Lord spoke to me about in Ecclesiastes, about coming to the house of God and being swift to hear. Amen. Be more, He said, more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Amen. Is how that Paul, I believe it was, put it later on in the Scriptures. But Mary was there listening to the Lord. She was there to hear Him speak. We'll see in John chapter 11, she's weeping at the feet of Jesus to have His sympathy. And I'm glad He is sympathetic and will give a sympathetic ear. And He does say, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. And then we'll see in John chapter 12, she's worshiping at the feet of Jesus to honor her Savior as He deserves to be honored. Now today, as I said, I'd like to deal with this waiting at the feet of Jesus to hear Him speak. Look with me again, verse 38. I want to read through verse 42 again, these five verses, and let you just soak them up a little bit. The Bible says, now it came to pass as they went that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Amen. That's familiar text to us. One, there's a couple of things I'll point out in here before I move on. There is work to be done, and thank God for workers that'll do the work. Amen. Amen. I mean, you come in the house of God, somebody's got to vacuum the floor. Somebody's got to straighten up the pews. Somebody's got to take the trash out. Somebody's got to clean the toilets. I mean, there's just go on and on and on. There's work to be done. Thank God for those that'll work. Amen. But when we come in here, we're not in here to look around and see what trash is on the floor. Or we're not in here to see what somebody's got on or what else is going on. We're in here to worship the Lord. Amen. To listen to Him and to hear His word and to learn that we might love Him more. By the way, the more you learn about Him, the more you'll love Him. Amen. Amen. I may have said this before, but I saw on a sign some years ago and I've never forgotten it. A church sign around Thanksgiving. And here's what it said. It said, thinking will produce thanking. Amen. Thinking will produce thinking. Now in the South, it sounds the same. Thinking produces thinking. Amen. But if you'll just consider the Lord a little bit, you get to know Him a little bit, you'll love Him more and more. Now, as I began to look at this text in Luke chapter 10 in detail, notice that our Lord, and if you look at it, the context of it, our Lord is journeying from Jerusalem. Previously, He's been in Jerusalem. He's been up to the temple. And, of course, it's that great occasion when our Lord has ridden into the city on the back of the donkey, the colt, the foal of an ass, and they've laid their coats in the way, and they've brought the palm branches, and they're praising Him. He has made His triumphant entry into Jerusalem, but He's been rejected. When the children were praising Him, the Pharisees complained about it, and the Pharisees talked about, make these people be quiet. Don't you see the tumult? You know what our Lord did? Our Lord rebuked them. Look back. I'll show you. Let me find my place here. I don't have it. Somewhere in this text anyway. Our Lord talked to them about how that that if these be quiet, the rocks will cry out. Maybe that's in John's account of it. I'll get there in a minute. But anyway, as he's going through that, our Lord left them and moved on. Look at verse number 38. Now it came to pass as they went. What? He left Jerusalem and went to Bethany. Bethany was a place there where our Lord was known to go multiple times, resort to get away from the city. We know, matter of fact, look again, verse 38 doesn't mention the village. It just says a certain village. Doesn't say it's Bethany. But we know that in John 11 that I read to you, but John 11 in chapter, verse number 1, it says, now a certain man was sick whose name, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. So we do know that city, although Luke just says it's a certain village, John tells us the name of the village. The village's name is Bethany. He not only went to that specific, certain village, but he went to a specific house, a certain house. You see that in verse number 38? And it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. I wonder if Jesus came to town, if we'd make him welcome in our own house, if we'd invite him in. By the way, I personally don't believe that Jesus went door to door and asked if he could come in. I believe as Jesus passed by, this woman invited him in. I believe she had a longing for him to be there. And by the way, he's not going to shove the door open and barge in on you either. Now the Holy Ghost may interrupt, as I said, he may interrupt your regularly scheduled program and deal with you about your soul, but he will not be ungentlemanly about it. Jesus won't come in and dwell with you and be welcomed in you if he's not welcomed, amen. In other words, he won't barge in. He came to a specific town. He came to a specific house in multiple times, and I believe there were wonderful days, precious memories, precious moments during the life of our Lord here on earth and during this earthly ministry. Now I read and found out that the little town of Bethany is only 2 miles from the city of Jerusalem. 2 little old miles. John chapter 11, again, verse number 18 tells us in furlongs, and so that's how we can siphon that. People that know how to convert that can do that. John 11, 18. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem about 15 furlongs off. So it's only about 2 miles from Jerusalem. So as you can see, when our Lord would go to Jerusalem, he could go to the temple, and yet he could escape the multitudes, the masses, and get away for a quiet time of repose and relaxation and maybe be restored a little bit there in that little house, in that little town of Bethany. But there's another place close to it as well. You've got Jerusalem, and on the way to Bethany, between Jerusalem and Bethany, is the Mount of Olives, and that place called the Garden of Gethsemane. It's all right there in that close proximity. So our Lord would find a place to pray. He could go worship at the temple. He could teach at the temple. Then he could escape that crowd, especially as they rebelled against him. And he could come and have a place to pray and have a place to relax right there in Bethany. Turn to Matthew chapter number 21. I did have it in my notes. Matthew 21 is where we see that our Lord had this occasion. Matthew 21. I believe the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus was a place probably that our Lord found a safe haven, a place of welcome from those that hated him, those that despised him. Matthew chapter 21, verse number 15, the Bible says, and when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased and said unto them, hearest thou what these say? Jesus saith unto them, yea, have you not read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? Look at the very next words. And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Sad that our Lord left them. What a blessing that Mary and Martha had the privilege that He lodged there. Amen. I don't want the Lord to leave me. I want Him to find a place to lodge, don't you? I want Him to stay with me and be with me. Amen. And so I thought about, and I wonder if this occasion in Luke 10 perhaps is the first time our Lord ever entered into this house. We find in John that He'd been there before, and we find in John 11 that He'd been there before that, and then He comes again in John 12. So apparently it was a place that He frequented. But I wonder if this in Luke chapter 11, or chapter 10, I'm sorry, is not the first time, because it sounds that way. It sounds as if Martha just flung the door open, and this is the first time He's been invited in. She's getting everything ready, and she's cumbered about much service. But we find Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. Amen. And so I'm glad that the Lord was willing to make His abode in a little bitty place, in a little bitty house. I don't picture Mary and Martha and Lazarus being rich folk. I think they were poor folk. I'm glad our Lord is not a respecter of persons. Amen. I'm glad that He doesn't just show up at the church downtown, but He can show up at the little country church as well. Amen. I'm glad the Lord doesn't turn His back on the poor homes and the homes that don't have a lot of prestige and the beauty of that. But our Lord's looking for a welcome mat, is what He's looking for. He's looking for somebody that will invite Him in and that will allow Him to lodge there. Amen. And I'm glad He does that. Now, having said that, I'll get to my message and I'll not be long. But I think about here these actions of Mary and Martha. Now, our Lord never, He didn't rebuke Mary, but He did rebuke Martha, but He didn't rebuke Martha until Martha rebuked the Lord. And I'll say this, my dad said, he's not sure that it's wrong to ask God questions as long as you're willing to accept His answers. But it don't pay to argue with God. It don't pay to rebuke the Lord. Amen. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we're like Peter. We say, Lord, you're wrong there, Lord. Far be it, Lord, from you. That's not going to happen. Sometimes we get to the place where we know that wouldn't be God's will. Well, now, if it goes against the Scriptures, God's will never goes against the Scriptures. Amen. But sometimes God's will goes against my will. And against your will. It's not always what we like. It's not always what we'd want. It's not always what we'd wish. But it is always best. Amen. I want to point out two things in our text this morning and show you. First of all, I want you to notice the place of the woman. Not just a woman's place, although that probably does need to be preached on in this day. But the place of this woman. And then I want you to notice the patience in her waiting at the feet of Jesus. Now the place of the woman, we find her sitting in verse number 39 at the feet of Jesus. It seems to me that women like to be held close. Sometimes I ask Melissa, I say, what do you want? She said, I just want you to hold me. Amen. I like it. It don't cost a lot of money. Not at that moment. It may cost... No, but sometimes she'll say to me, "I just lay down here with me and hold me a minute, or sit down here and hold me. Let me talk to me." Women like to be held close. I'm glad our Lord is one that'll get up close and personal. If you're lonely, if you feel rejected, if you feel like there's nobody, and by the way, there's multitudes in our world. They're connected with that social media, but they're so disconnected from people. Amen. Melissa showed me a thing on Facebook the other day. I don't know. It was around Christmas time. Somebody put this notice up. It said, attention, I'm going to invite a bunch of people over, have a bunch of people over after a while to sit around and look at their phones. Would you like to join us? I said, well, that's about right, ain't it? But they're so connected in social media, and yet their heart is hungry for somebody to look their way, for somebody to pay a little bit of attention to them. Amen. I'm glad our Lord is a very present help in time of need. If you have a need, if you'll just call on Him, He'll be there, and He'll hear you, and He'll help you. Amen. But women love to be held close. Another thing about women is that they're to be submissive, and the beauty of a woman is her submissive spirit. Amen. I don't know of any boy that ever said, you know what I like about her? It's her biceps, buddy. I like them biceps on a woman. No. It's not her strength. It's her weakness that draws you to her. Amen. It's that submissiveness that is a beautiful thing in the sight of God. Amen. And I believe it's a beautiful thing. It should be a beautiful thing even in our sight. But here's my thought. This thing about loving, when you have love, love longs to be near and love longs to submit. And so Mary finds her place near the Lord and she's not teaching Him. She's not telling Him. She's listening to Him. Martha's problem was Martha's busy about everything, but she's also going to tell Him. Amen. Now, it's not that the Lord's not interested in hearing your troubles, but He does not need to be instructed as to how to run His business.
Right.
Amen. He doesn't need our help. And that's not just you ladies, that's us men too. The Lord doesn't need our instructions. Amen. Mary is here in a place where she's listening and she's loving Him. Love also has a desire to be led by the one it loves. Amen. Has that desire to stay together. Amen. When husband and wife get married, I'll use Brother and Sister Hall. They've been married almost 50 years now. And I'm sure this is how it is that wherever she's at is where he wants to be. Wherever he's at, unless it's the gun store, is where she wants to be. Amen. Amen. But it's right. You want to be together. You want to be together. And if he was to get up in the morning and say, you know, we're moving back to Indiana, you know what she'd say? Well, she might have a few other words, but eventually she'd say, I'm going with you. Amen. She'd say, have you lost your mind? But I'm going with you. Amen. But it's true. Amen. But my point is this, is that our love for the Lord, we don't want to get out and lead Him. We don't want to tell Him, Lord, this is what I'm going to do now. I want you to bless it. It ought to be, Lord, I want you to lead me. I want to listen so I know which way you're going, and I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to obey you and do what you want me to do. Amen. So I notice this. Mary's position, first of all, Mary's position is one of lowliness. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Reminds me again in Luke chapter number 5, I believe it is, about that Gadarene. We call him the Gadarene demoniac, maniac of Gadara. That man that was so wild and unruly that they couldn't tame him. Even with chains and fetters, they couldn't bind him. He'd break those. He was wild. He couldn't be tamed. But when the Lord showed up, kicked the devil out, amen. This man got Jesus in his heart. He fell in love with the Lord. He was clothed and sitting in his right mind. Now he could be ruled. Matter of fact, he wanted to be ruled by the Lord. Amen. Amen. But Mary's position is one of lowliness, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Can I say to you that humility is a wonderful virtue? Humility. I believe it's one of the most needed graces in the Christian life. One of the most needed aspects of a Christian life is that we have humility. That we're not lifted up in pride. I say it over and over because the Bible says it over and over. God hates pride. He resisteth the proud. It's not just the idea that he pushes back. It's that he balls up his fist. He goes to war with the proud. Against the proud. God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble. Amen. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, when He described Himself, He said, you'll find Him meek and lowly. Amen. Humility. Excuse me. If we're going to enjoy the blessings of God this year, we need to find ourselves in a lowly place. Lord, help me to find myself in a lowly place. I ask you, are you willing to face God and to come to Him in humility? Secondly, we see not only Mary's position, but Mary's privilege. Her position was one of lowliness. Her privilege is one of learning. What a blessing to be able to sit at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I thank the Lord that in my life, God's allowed me to sit at the feet of some men of God. Some of them whose names I could call, you'd know. Many of them whose names I could call, you wouldn't know. But thank God I had the privilege to sit and listen to them. Yeah. Had the privilege to learn, to watch, and to see. Amen. One of learning. But not just preachers. I think about Sunday school teachers. Amen. Both men that were my teachers when I was an adult, and even ladies that were my teachers when I was a child. Thank God for the privilege of learning. Amen. The Bible calls a man that won't learn a fool. It's not that he can't learn, although he says even stripes for the fool's back don't teach him anything. Amen. It's not that they can't learn, it's that they won't learn. This crowd that thinks they know everything, Brother Albert Hardin, he's probably said it here, but I heard him say, he said, if you haven't learned anything since the time you knew everything, you don't know much. That's what he'd say. Amen. We ought to find our place at a place of learning. Look at verse number 39 again. She's sitting, which also sat at Jesus' feet, in that phrase, and heard His Word. She did not come to instruct, but to be instructed. Amen. She assumed the attitude of a learner as she sat at His feet and heard His Word. The lowly place is a learning place. Amen. I've tried to show some fellows some things in the past. I remember one man I hired to do drywall work. I was trying to teach him. He thought he knew more than I did before he started. He'd never had his hand on a putty knife, and he knew all about it. You know what? The first job is to spot nails. That's what you do. You spot nails. Most of them get spotted three times in a job. He wanted to run tape. Then he wanted to do corner bead. And that may be Greek to you, but I'm showing you my education. All right, while I'm talking about all this, no, I'm kidding. But he wanted to do the finish of the finish before he learned to keep mud on the knife to start with. If you can't hold the mud on the knife to spread it on nails, and by the way, and wipe as much of it off as you can, don't leave too much on there, then you're not ready to tape in the corners because you'll have a mess. But I'd send him off to do a job, and I'd be out in other places, you know, doing other things, running the beat and doing the different things. And I'd come back, and he'd be doing something that I hadn't told him to do, and he hadn't done what I had told him to do. You can't help people like that. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, Mary is a place of learning. You know why? Because she's in a place of lowliness. She's willing to listen. Amen. Good advice, especially to young people, is be willing to listen. Be willing to listen. Amen. Well, Proverbs chapter number 1 instructs us to listen to learn and learn to listen. Amen. That's how you do it. Are you willing? I said, first of all, are you willing to come to Him in humility? Are you willing to give Him a hearing? Are you willing to hear what the Spirit has to say? Amen. Then the third thing I notice about Mary, this place of the woman, is her pleasure. It's one of love. She's in love with the Lord. Our Lord said this in verse number 42. But this one thing is needful, and Mary, I underline this, hath chosen that good part. Right. Amen. Mary's in love with the Lord. Amen. She's so engrossed in the Lord that the potatoes are not so important, that the silverware is not so important, that everything else is not so important, but the Savior is what's important to her. She's sitting and listening. Can I say this, that sitting at the feet of Jesus is not one of chance, it's one of choice. Amen. It's one of choice. You got to choose to be there. Amen. Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus because she loved Him. She loved Him, she listened to Him, and she learned from Him. Are we willing to give Him a hearing? Are we willing to come to Him in humility? Are we willing to show Him honor? My last one, this third one, or the second one, is the place, the patience in the waiting. Not just the place of the woman, but the patience in the waiting. The most famous verse on waiting, besides the one that says, ye have need of patience, we quote that to one another all the time, don't we? Ye have need of patience. Well, I do too. But in Isaiah chapter number 40 and verse number 31, you know that verse? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. Amen. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So he tells us if we'll wait, if we will have some patience in waiting. By the way, let me stop and say this. Most people, they do not have patience. And I realize probably the computer, it being so lightning fast. Think about the first computer I ever saw. I thought it was lightning fast. Amen. I mean, and these today can run circles around them in moments. And they'll get faster probably as time goes on. Perhaps it will. I don't know. But because of all that, when things don't happen instantly, we're so stuck on instant gratification that we can't wait. And if we have to wait, we get impatient in the waiting. Can I tell you the things with God? God don't get in a hurry. God don't get in a hurry. I forgot who it was said this, but they said it right. They said, God is never late, but He's seldom early. He's almost always, and I found to be just in the nick of time. Amen. Right when you need Him most, amen, that's where He'll show up. But Mary was willing to hear the Lord. She was waiting to hear the Lord, and her patience paid off in the fact that He not only spoke to her, but He spoke up for her when her sister was ridiculing and running her down. Amen. He spoke up for her. I want you to notice three things here. There's the hush of expectancy in hearing the Word of God. Mary sat, and she sat quietly. She's listening to what the Lord's got to say. She sat patiently. She sat reverently. Amen. Amen. Listening to see what the Lord's got to say. Some people cannot hear God speak because they won't sit still long enough for Him to speak. Amen. Some people can't hear God speak because they won't be quiet from speaking themselves long enough to listen to Him speak. That's true. I believe God's still speaking today. Amen. I personally believe that in Isaiah chapter number 6, and you can look at it how you want to, Isaiah chapter 6, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, God showed him that great sign, His train filled the temple. You know what Isaiah said? Woe is me. What was he woed about? For I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And God sent that angel to get a coal, lay it on his lips. And it seems like almost the moment that Isaiah got his lips touched with that hot coal, he heard the Lord say, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" You remember that story? Here's what I believe. I don't believe that's the first time the Lord had said that. I believe the Lord had been saying that all along, but Isaiah couldn't hear Him because Isaiah had been doing so much talking. What he was convicted of was his lips, what he was saying. Once he got help for his lips, he could hear what the Lord was saying with his lips. God help us. So many times we're so full of our ways and our ideas, we don't have time to listen to God. That's true. We ought to get still and listen to the Word of God. There ought to be a hush of expectancy. I personally like reading my Bible first thing in the morning before there's a lot of racket going on. Amen. This past year, I've got Alexander Scorby on my computer now. I listen to it as I read it. I read it along with him, and I catch his mistakes. But I'll watch it and listen. Now I've got earbuds because sometimes people's around and things are going on that it distracts me, and I like to be able to cut out the distractions. Amen. And so I can hear. But I'm going to tell you, whatever time you find reading your Bible or spending with God, you can't always get alone. You can't always cut out everything. The phone will ring right at the wrong time. A lot of things are going. I realize that. But you ought to find a place where you can be still and hear God speak to you. Amen. A hush of expectancy. Number two, there's the hunger of emptiness. There's a hunger in her wanting to hear the Word of God. She had a desire to hear Him. Amen. She had an anticipation of hearing Him. She had an eagerness to hear the teachings of God. Amen. I said a moment ago, some people can't hear God speak because they won't sit still long enough. There's some people that love to hear gossip, but they ain't got time to hear the gospel. Amen. Some people love to hear the news or the score of the latest ball game, or you go on down the list, but they're not serious about hearing the Word of God. Amen. There ought to be a hunger. A hunger. And then the third thing, there's a hope. A hope of eternity in hearing God's Word.
Amen.
Christ said to Martha, I want you to see it again. In verse number, I'll start verse 41 and read verse 41 and 42. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But, now what's the next word? One thing is needful. You got your mind on a lot of things. There's one thing you need to focus your mind on. You've got your eyes on a lot of things. And by the way, I know there's a lot of things to be done, but he said you got to get in focus this thing. Martha was cumbered about much serving. That's what the Bible said there in verse number 40. Cumbered about much serving. I looked up that word cumbered. It deals with this. I was amazed. The word cumbered about much serving deals with being busy around a particular thing. It deals with being diligent, being careful around the things rather than being focused on the one thing. Martha was busy with the things around Christ that she wasn't paying attention to Christ.
Right.
Amen. Amen. If we're not careful, by the way, we'll read our Bible, talk about being a new year. You ought to read your Bible through. If we're not careful, we'll just check it off. And all we've got out of it is a checklist.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. Be better if you didn't even finish it that year, if you'd at least get something in it when you go through it. Amen. Amen. Look for Christ Himself. She was focusing on everything around Him when she was neglecting Him there. I said when we read our Bible, we ought to focus on the Lord. How about this? When we sing a song or we hear a song sung. Amen. Amen. We ought to focus on the Lord. Pay attention to what the Lord is saying. Listen to the message that's coming to me or you. Don't get distracted by all the ornaments around. Amen. But see and focus on the Lord. Now, let me throw you out some verses. Psalm 119, you know, is a great psalm on the Word of God. The Bible, the Word of God gives us peace. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Psalm 119, 105, it says it gives us light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. So we can find peace, we can find light when we hear the Word of God. We can find faith, Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. Is your faith weak? Listen to the Word of God. Amen. And then we can find freedom, John 8, 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Amen. I want to ask you this year, we're entering into a new year. Will you find yourself sitting at the feet of Jesus? Will you set aside some time? And whether or not I don't know if you're a scheduler. Some people are not. I personally like to have a schedule. It's not something I have to be stringent to, but at least something that I've got a plan laid out. That way by the way, somebody said, if you don't have a goal, you'll never hit a goal. Amen. You need a plan. But however it is, but if you're going to set aside, you might say, well, I'm going to set aside some time to walk the treadmill. I'm going to set aside some time to walk the path. I'm going to set aside some weight. Somebody said, last year I pledged to lose 15 pounds. This year I'm going to try to reach that goal, but now it's 20. Because I've added 5 from last year instead of losing the 15. You might have a plan of something you're going to do. I'll tell you what you better do. Put Jesus in the plan. Put the Word of God in the plan. Be waiting at the feet of Jesus to hear Him speak. Not just to check it off and say, all right, I've been there, I've done that, I've read that, I've finished that. But hear what the Lord has to say. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, I thank You for the truth of the Word of God. Help me, Lord, not to be so busy around the things of God, or even around the things of God, but help me focus on Thee, dear Lord. Help me to have that sweet fellowship, that communion with thee, that special time of love, that special time of listening, that I might learn, and then, Lord, that I might do what you want me to do. Lord, I pray help this congregation. You know their needs. If there be one among us unsaved, I pray you'd bring them to Christ before it's too late. The saints that may be straying, Lord, I pray help them to strengthen those weak knees. Help them, dear God, to strengthen their life and go on for God. Lord, you get the glory. I pray have your way in this invitation. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. While we sing, if you need to come and pray, some are praying. Do you need to pray while we sing?
160.
Just obey the Lord. Do what He says do.